Welcome to the Cordwainers In Your Shoes podcast. My name is Katie Greenier and I'm the Creative Talent and Network Director at Pentland Brands. Cordwainers are shoemakers and today the Worshipful Company of Cordwainers works to promote footwear design and entrepreneurship in both education and the fashion industry. To celebrate the company's 750th anniversary, we have recorded this series to explore what it is like to live in the shoes of those who make them. Today I'm joined by Guy West, co-founder and designer, alongside Mark Jeffrey, who established Jeffrey West in 1987. Guy is a flamboyant and highly driven entrepreneur with a wonderful sense of home style, which you can see within his Jeffrey West label that has built a worldwide reputation in offering individual, highly distinctive men's footwear. Guy fills any room with his presence. There are so many juxtapositions that surround him. He's a style icon, a pragmatist, a lover of outdoors and nature, with a passion for music and a total social butterfly. He was my fellow judge on the Cordwainers Footwear Awards, and his knowledge and understanding of the footwear business and everything that surrounds it is limitless. He is kind, and he is a natural mentor and ambassador for the footwear trade. Guy and I are both Cordwainers, members of the ancient city of London's livery company, which has been supporting shoemakers for the past 750 years. I am joined today by Guy West, who is looking absolutely beautiful. I would almost say, no, you do. You're looking sharp. And Guy is always dressed to impress. And I always look forward to seeing the outfits. And today he hasn't let me down. Smooth and slick in black with a red collar. A military inspired, I believe. And a nice pair of 70s glasses. Looking sharp. So should we just crack on and get into it, Guy?
Yeah, 100%.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Northampton. Well, just outside Northampton, actually, at a grass aerodrome called Sywell Aerodrome.
And what did your parents do?
They were the managers of the sort of the hotel and the pub there. So I grew up in a little flat above the restaurant and the bar.
And what was that like?
Yeah, well, obviously, because I didn't know any difference, it was my life. So, because I'm an only child as well, most of my life was spent with adults. And I worked from a very young age as well for my dad, either bottling up and then subsequently behind the bar or as a waiter. So all my weekends from Friday night to Sunday night were always working, which I enjoyed.
And what was Northampton like then?
Well, I lived, like I said, it was about 7 miles out, so I didn't really go in that much, but I always remember being taken to the old-fashioned barbers in the Victorian arcades that were there at the time. But unfortunately, 60s, 70s planners, it would have been 70s planners, they decided to knock all that down and build a hideous 70s shopping centre, which is now pretty much empty. So it's changed, you know, it has changed a lot from my childhood. And there was a Victorian cobbled market square, which again, they ripped all the cobbles up. So yeah, bad planning. Unfortunately, it has really affected the town.
And you still live there today?
No, I live in North Buckinghamshire, near a place called Solsey Forest, Newport Pagnell.
So how did you meet Mark Jeffrey?
His father used to come into the hotel. The hotel it was a motel actually, like I say, on this grass aerodrome. It's a World War II aerodrome, but it had a very sort of strong social scene. My mum and dad were very social people. So his father, you know, he used to come in quite a lot, as did his mother. And I think, you know, at that age, 13 or 14, you know, it was the era of, you know, our son, there's a packet of crisps and a Coke bottle, go in the garden for 4 hours while we're all on the piss in the pub kind of thing. So yeah, we met when we were quite young and we became friends, and then subsequently 15, 16 year olds, you know, obviously we started then going out, and we started working together actually when I was 16 and Mark was 17. And we used to buy up samples and bits and pieces and then either customise them but sell them on the market. So
samples of footwear or samples?
Footwear, yeah. Because Mark's father, he had a shoe factory, which unfortunately, we had to close. But at the time, we'd either, you know, buy samples from him or some end of lines. And obviously, Mark had some contacts as well. So, that's what we used to do. That's how we started, really. And then we always wanted to do Jeffrey West, which we eventually did when we were 22.
So you were both incredibly entrepreneurial. Did you realise that you had a skill for this business?
I think I was really interested in sort of subcultures, because I think great when I was 15, that very influential age, there was such a melting pot of youth cultures, whether it was the mod revival or the, you know, even the Suededs and the Teds and the end of punk and the end of disco, and new wave was coming through, and then, you know, obviously then subsequently the new romantics, and so there was such a mixture of things. And that really sort of excited me. And I liked the fashion that went with it. But obviously then it was more sort of DIY fashion, or you'd go to the market and buy things off of people. So I really was interested in that. And I think living in Northampton, obviously the shoe trade was the sort of the main trade there. So then I wouldn't have thought of, you know, perhaps going down to London to work, not at 16. So, you know, I wanted to get a job in the shoe trade, which I did when I was 17. Maybe if I'd have been in Nottingham, it might have been lace, or maybe in Luton, it would have been hats. Who knows? But yeah, I think it was circumstances as well. But I was interested in shoes. I like them, yeah.
So how do you think your upbringing influenced who you are today?
That's a good one, yeah. I think that living in a pub, basically, does make me quite a sociable person. So, you know, this time's been tough for me personally, not only just for business, because I like going out, I like talking to people. And, you know, I'm not a great one really for typed communication. So everything that's now come through, you know, with really people not talking to each other or not meeting face to face has, it's affected me. So, yeah, it did make me a person that, I do like to socialise. But then also, you know, my father would always be very, very smart, as would my mother. So I've always liked very smart tailoring, really. And, you know, I've never really worn trainers or casual clothes ever, even right from the age of 14 or 15, because I was always into much more into the, you know, like I say, whether it's a new wave or a look anyway.
Yeah, you've always looked sharp. Tell us a bit more about you and what you like doing in your spare time.
I like sports, actually. I like, obviously, other than socialising, you know, I you know, at the moment I'm desperate to go to a nightclub again, and I'm desperate to go to a festival again. But other than that, I've always liked board sports. So as a kid, I used to really enjoy water skiing and snow skiing. And then from that, obviously, with the development of wakeboarding, I got into wakeboarding and snowboarding. And then from there, I sort of used to surf quite a lot, and then into windsurfing and now kite surfing. So, yeah, mostly board sports, or water-based board sports, yeah. So
I had no idea about that.
Yeah, I've always been really passionate about it. And so I used to skateboard a lot as well when I was obviously much younger. My knees won't take it now, but I longboard now. I still go longboarding with all the old boys.
That's fantastic.
not in a skate park, though. That concrete hurts.
How did you go about creating your own label?
I think because we were so young, we had this, I've always had this huge respect for Goodyear Welted Shoes and the factories in Northampton. And, you know, from a young age, we'd go into the factory shops and buy shoes up. I remember buying a pair of Balmoral boots that actually been made by Crockett and Jones for Ralph Lauren, but from their factory shop. And I was probably 14 maybe or 15. And it was a particular look. It was like an Edwardian look that I was going for. So I always loved that. But then as I got slightly older, that I, you know, maybe, and also obviously the traditional factories were producing very traditional shoes, but I wanted something that was a little bit more dandy than that, you know, probably because of the sort of the Blitzkrieg New Romantic influence and that whole Edwardian influence. So I wanted something a little bit more, and but still with that quality. And that's really what Mark and I sort of set out to do, was to create our own look, but using that quality, using the Goodyear Welted. Our first ranges weren't Goodyear Welted because the factories wouldn't take us seriously, the ones that we approached. So we had to do every stage of it ourselves. So we found a chap who was a pattern cutter, and he used to come to this little room that we had at this aerodrome. And after work, he'd then cut the patterns by hand. We'd then take the cut pieces over to a closing room, which was in Northampton. They would then close it. Then we'd go and pick up the uppers, take them to High and Ferris, and had a small factory there that would then make them for us. And then we'd then subsequently bring them back to our little office and put the labels on the end of the boxes and then send them to our customers. So we did every stage of it, which is similar to they still do in Italy, to be honest. A lot of the work's still done by art workers.
So what goes into the craftsmanship of your footwear? Because it is truly unique, I think.
Yeah, we don't make everything with the Goodyear Welted production, but it's that tradition and the quality of it. I think at the moment, you know, with obviously with the advent of coronavirus and online shopping, you don't really get, you know, with online, if the picture's good and the kid looks great or the model looks great who's wearing it, all you see is that and the price. So there's no standard of comparison. Whereas if you go into a shop and you pick up a pair of Goodyear Welted shoes and then you pick up a pair of other shoes, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with cemented, of course, but you that's the only way that you can really feel the quality. Obviously, they're quite heavy, which some people don't like, but then sustainability with them, because you can get them repaired and, you know, obviously they are made from leather, so I know there's an issue over leather, but it's biodegradable. So it's that tradition and that quality that we've tried to always keep and then obviously put our own handwriting on that. I don't know whether that answers your question, but yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Your personal style and your footwear is flamboyant, rebellious, innovative. Who inspires you?
A lot of the old Hellraisers, really. And I should probably pick somebody that's not dead, but Richard Burton, Oliver Reed, Peter O'Toole, those kind of people have always been an influence on me. Some of the old tailors, I always used to love Tommy Nutter suits. Well, look the look of them. Yeah. I've never owned a Tommy Nutter suit, I have to say. But Edward Sexton. So, yeah, very much that sort of, you know, that sartorial, rebellious, dandy kind of character.
And how do you seek that out, those influences, especially now?
Obviously, there's, you know, we've still got a fantastic tradition of tailoring, you know, and I've got some good friends who are tailors as well. So I think you working with a tailor, you know, obviously they've got their own look, but the whole point of going to a tailor is to get your look. So you need to find a tailor that you can work with. So I don't really go shopping to brands. You know, of course, there's fantastic clothing, you know, with certain brands. But most of what I would prefer to do, certainly now, but even when I was younger, I used to go to a tailor when I was 21. So yeah, tailoring really for me is the key to it.
Tell us more about Geoffrey West's handwriting and details.
Yeah. Well, we don't, with the shoes, we don't really overtly brand them, but over the years we have developed certain handwriting, you know, the red lining, all the shoes have a red lining. And that was always obviously colour is, you know, red is the colour of passion, but also the traditional officers' boots, the dress boots. I've got an old pair that were made by Edward Green, actually. They were made by Edward Green's in the 50s. I bought them secondhand. And they had just a red lining around the top of them. And always black and red has been something that has influenced, even, you know, when I was 14. So the red lining, we always use diamond punches for our brogue punching instead of circular punches, which is obviously the norm. We have a clef heel. The clef heel is meant to almost be like you're walking on the dark side, sort of like the devil's hoof as such. Again, very much tongue-in-cheek. And we use references, a lot of references. Most people probably wouldn't get them, but our customers do, and they like them, albeit whether it's for the irony of it or you know, whether it's a film quote or a music quote or, you know, various different things. But again, it's to a very, very niche market, our range. And it's getting more and more niche, I think, as we go. But yes.
They'll come back. Yeah. They'll come back. You tell incredible stories for your work. How do you go about telling those stories? You know, I think it's because you have certain DNA, which you've just summarised. Mm-hmm. It looks like when you buy your shoes, mm-hmm. you're going to have a really good time.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, that's what I like. I like to try and, you know, bring that sort of humour or that flamboyance. Love them or hate them. But many of our customers said, I love wearing your shoes because people comment on them. You know, like that, a lot of people wouldn't want their footwear to be commented on. So I totally understand that. But that's exactly what we want to bring that flamboyance through. And I think that if you're wearing, whether it's a pair of shoes or an amazing suit or even a, you know, a cane or something, it just makes you, you know, it makes you that little bit more gregarious, let's say, by having something, by wearing something that's a bit more flamboyant.
And in terms of seasonal direction, what's your range like? Does it change every year or is it, you know, you constant? Is there,
no,
is there footwear that actually, it is just always repeated?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, I was looking at it like a cascade machine, you know, from the old school amusement arcades. So, you know, you put a few coins in at the back and a few fall off at the front, but the majority there stays on that platform. And ours is like that. You know, we'll find a shoe that has become a classic for us. We've got a couple of shoes we've been selling for 20 odd years. And you know, and people still want to buy them. So, yeah, we will run it. So I would never say that we've never been a fashion company, ever. We do a particular look. And the chaps that sort of buy into it, obviously, they understand that. But, of course, we've had to do some more casual shoes. You know, who hasn't? So, yes, there is an element of seasonality about it. But the core of the range, you know, like still, even now, our best-selling boot is a Chelsea boot. Our best-selling item is a Chelsea boot. So even in the summer months, that's what we're known for.
What has been your most challenging project or collaboration?
I think, you know, one of the most challenging business decisions was to open up in New York. I know it's not a collaboration, but we had a shop in New York. And, you know, that was a challenge and has been even more of a challenge with the logistics of trying to get there. So, yeah, as a challenge like that, as far as working with other people, we haven't really worked with that many people over the years on collaborations, not within the fashion industry. You know, we've done plenty of drinks brands and limited editions with various different artists and furniture designers, even things like that. But they've always been sort of quite smooth, really, and quite, you know, quite enjoyable. I don't know about challenging. Yeah, maybe. You'd have to probably have hit me with that one a few hours ago. And I might have scratched my head and thought.
What does a normal day look like in your life?
It's running a small business. There's no such thing really as a normal day, because obviously we've got our shop in Manchester, Leeds, two in London, Northampton. We've got the internet business. I used to travel to the factories. Obviously, at the moment, I'm not doing that. But if it was it would be either getting on the train, coming down to London, being in one of the shops, or going to our showroom in Great Titchfield Street, or getting in the car, driving up to Manchester or driving up to Leeds. But if I was in the office in Northampton, it would be very much at my desk dealing with the factories, you know, whatever that may be, whether it's, you know, looking at new leathers or going to see Michael at Springline to work on new lasts. So there is not one day the same as the next, really. I presume it's like that for you as well. You wear many caps, Katie, so...
I love that no day's the same, though. Yeah, I always love it when...
I think that's what we want. If it was, we wouldn't like it.
No, we'd be rubbish at a day the same. So who is your consumer? How would you describe your... Because, again, we've talked about your own style. Who is your consumer?
He's a man, obviously a male, because we sell men's shoes. Probably somebody that either is self-employed or runs his own business, or is certainly in some kind of position of not necessarily power, but to be able to express himself through his style, doesn't really pander to fashion, has his own look, probably somebody that is, you know, enjoys life, you know, a bon vivant, whether it's eating, indulging, or, you know, drinking and socializing. So yeah, I'd say somebody that is definitely reasonably sure of themselves.
And your most famous celebrity consumer? Because you've got a few.
We've got many, yeah. Probably, there's quite a few that have died now as well. But, over the years, we've you know, David Bowie had a pair, which, you know, which was amazing for me, obviously, you know.
That's incredible.
Coming from where I came from. But Tom Jones, you know, he still buys from us now. What a legend. Yeah, many. Sylvester Stallone we've had in. Trying to think of some younger guys. Zac Efron.
That's quite good.
Many. I could reel off quite a few over the years, but a few.
What do you think's been the most defining moment in your career?
Probably opening the shop, the first shop in London, because although we were selling our collection to other shops, but as you know, with wholesale, the shops will choose maybe 4 or 6 lines, maybe. So by having that in somebody else's shop, which is great, but you can't really see what the collection or what the brand is about. But when we could open the shop, you know, the interior looks like a Geoffrey West shop. The music's right. You know, the art on the wall's right. So it just means that somebody coming in to that shop can get what you're about.
You can tell the story, can't you?
You can. The full
vision of everything that you're
set out to do. Yeah, and that's why I'm still really, really pro proper retail. You know, I know there's the rush. Of course, we've got a website, but I'd hate to think that we'd have to give up our retail.
I don't think you need to give it up.
I'd hate to think that.
I think the thing is now it's about the experience.
Yeah.
And if anyone has a retail experience issue, it's you. You know, you go in and you can actually see the vision, the story. Yeah. You can feel the weight of the shoes, the fabric,
The smell.
The craft.
Let's smell the smell of leather walking into a shoe shop.
I think people are going to be screaming out for that more than ever after this. Because, you know, we've all gone into these weird, you know, virtual silos. And actually, I think real retail is needed.
It is. No, I totally agree.
And I love it. There's nothing better than actually
finding
a purchase that you weren't expecting to find in a proper shop. Like, it's like a dream.
I like to go in a shop, you know, my favourite shops were second-hand, vintage shops, as we used to call them second-hand shops, but vintage shops now, record shops, bookshops, that kind of thing, where you go into a shop and you've literally got to stand there for about 10 or 15 minutes or walk around to take everything in, and you discover something. It's not necessarily what you wanted to buy. I think now with everybody pricing, with all the brands pricing their collections down to these key items that they press, you go in and you've got the choice of 8 things. Like it or not, I prefer it to be the complete opposite to that. You know, when Shelley used to have his shop on Oxford Street, you'd go in there and you'd have to look around. You might find the shoe that you wanted. You couldn't actually reach it, was so high up. You know, so I like that kind of discovery retail.
And that's the joy of shopping, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely.
One of those things, it must come back. It has to, because I think there'll be a lot of, and everyone will just end up looking the same.
Yeah.
Which is quite distressing, I think, to both of us.
Yeah, it really is distressing.
What have you done that you're most proud of? And you had that moment you were like, yeah.
Business-wise, yeah.
I think maybe one business, one personal.
Business-wise, I think definitely the shop. The first shop, which we're still in, the Piccadilly shop.
Yeah.
We did, before that actually, we did have a concession in a business that was called Squire. Just off of Savile Row, but really our first shop. So that shop in Piccadilly. And like I say, you could tell the story. And I was in the shop. I like to be in the shop still. You know, I love to be. If I could split myself in half, I'd be in all the shops all the time. Not in half, but in four sections. I would be in the shops all the time.
But then you really get to see your consumer and have feedback directly Absolutely. On what your product's like, what works, what doesn't
and
work.
And I love to be working in the shop. I really do. And then personally... Well, obviously, you know, having a daughter, of course, you know, and having a family with my wife, and, you know, there is that. But I'm just trying to think of something that I could say that was, you know, just about myself kind of thing, really. I've always liked, I know, obviously now with open water swimming, you know, a lot of people are sort of doing it. But that's something that always interests me. And I did the Byron swim which is the intercontinental swim, where you actually swim from Europe to Asia, which is where you swim across the Bosphorus. So that I really enjoyed. And I've swam in the Venice, shouldn't swim in the Venice Canal, but I've also done the Byron swim in the Venice Canal as well. So some of the Byron swims I've done, I've really enjoyed. And obviously because of the connotations about Byron, he would be a customer of ours, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. I love that you've done that. That's so good. What would you be if you weren't co-founder of Geoffrey West?
When I was a kid, I always wanted to be a marine biologist because I loved diving and I loved surfing. So, you know, unfortunately, I wasn't particularly good at sciences. So, yeah, that's what I would have liked to have done. But I couldn't achieve that. So I think I would quite like to have been an auctioneer. I could have done that. Yeah,
I love that you've got
I'd like to have been one of those really flamboyant auctioneers, you know, that pretty much holds court.
So now I'm on to quickfire round. So all you have to do is answer them quickly.
Yep.
If you could talk to the Prime Minister, what would you say?
Oh, you've put me on the spot there, haven't you? Talk to the Prime Minister, what would I say? Help retail. There you go.
Last thing you designed?
Oh, a new boat shoe.
What fashion trend do you just not get?
Those massive, huge trainers.
Are you a morning or night person?
Night.
Marmite, love it or hate it?
Love it.
If you were stranded on a tropical island, what two things would you want with you?
A speedboat and somebody to drive it.
When are you most productive?
Used to be at night, but now more mid-morning after a couple of coffees.
What was the last thing you fixed?
My clock.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Could you survive in the wilderness for a week?
Yes.
What songs do you know off by heart?
Sympathy for the Devil.
Oh, good. Do you want to give us a...
No, I can't sing.
What looks delicious but tastes terrible?
Ooh, brownies.
Would you rather be too hot or too cold?
Too cold.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how cool are you?
4.
Guy, if we want to buy anything from you or seek you out and seek your product out, where do we need to go to?
To a Geoffrey West shop, which is, we have one in Manchester, Leeds or London.
And Northampton.
And Northampton, yeah, it's our head office.
Guy, it's been an absolute pleasure to walk in your shoes. For more interest in Cordwainers livery, please visit our website, cordwainers.org, or our Instagram, Worshipful Company of Cordwainers.